This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with co-host and Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Dave.
The end of the General Assembly session, it saw a, we'll be polite, contentious debate over tolls for the new Secundit River Bridge. First a plan to delay the tolls and study the situation, then a plan to put a 10-cent toll on the bridge. Mark, what's going on with this, and what's the effect on East Bay businesses and tourism?
Well, you have to go back, and one of the reasons, the reason that the delay and the study commission for the tolls was a pushback from East Bay residents, but probably as much from businesses who, between commuters coming onto the island to work there, to the issue of whether or not people would come to Newport, as tourists, would they want to pay the could be, if it's an out-of-state rate, they don't have the Rhode Island Easy Pass, it could be a pretty hefty toll to come down to Newport and then again when they go back. So you had a lot of pushback on that end. And it seemed the folks from Aquidneck Island felt like they had a deal. And then all of a sudden at the last minute, you had a comeback, which was driven by the leaders of the Democratic Party saying, look, there's some federal language that says if we don't have you can't put a toll on a road that's substantially complete sort of after the fact. And so they said, let's put a marker toll in place, 10 cents, so that when this study commission is done, that figures out how are we going to pay for, bridge maintenance, which really that's at the heart of this. You know, the bridges need dedicated and significant sources of revenue to remain, safe. And so you have these four bridges that are right now underneath the Turnpike Authority, the Mount Hope, Secundit, Newport, Pell, and Jamestown. And they need the reason that the Department of Transportation wanted tolls is they wanted to say we're going to have a dedicated revenue stream so that we don't have to be begging for money to, or closing lanes or closing bridges or whatever it is they need to do so that we can keep these bridges up.
Yet the pushback from East Bay businesses and residents and legislators has been we're kind of getting picked on to pay for the bridge, and there should be a statewide way of funding the infrastructure of bridges.
Well, I think that's what you're going to see. The commission, the study commission, is going to try to come up with a better formula. I will put one sort of caveat on that, and that is that if you look at, for instance, the RIPTA funding formula, which is based on gasoline taxes, one of the interesting ironies is that when gasoline prices go up, you'd think, RIPTA will get more money. But the problem is that people travel in their cars less and they use public transportation more. So at the same time that you have greater demand on public transportation, you have a smaller revenue stream. So I think that whatever the study commission comes up with, they're going to have to recognize that it has to be regular and significant enough and not, sort of subject to the whims of the marketplace as much as, say, a percentage gasoline tax.
Moody's Investor Service, Mark, is dropping its review of Rhode Island bonds because the state did pay the first installment of $2.5 million for the 38 Studios bonds, at least officially recognized the payment. Is there still the potential for the state to recover any losses with potential lawsuits over 38 Studios and the moral obligation bond improvement?
Well, I think that's why the governor did sue he sued actually his own people, Keith Stokes and Michael Saul, who were at the head of the EDC at the time it was approved, but also the bond insurer, the banks, who placed the bonds, I think a law firm was in there too. I think that they're all assuming that there's some manner of insurance money that will help defray whatever it is the costs are. What's interesting here, though, is that I think it was a shot across the bow by Moody's Investor Service, which said, you guys were just talking about, not paying for this. We think that if that happens, we're going to review these bonds. And that was a signal to the marketplace that if they reviewed the bonds and, downgraded them, that any debt being put out by the state would then be subject to downgrades and higher costs, which in the end, if you don't pay off those bonds, the actual borrowing costs for the state might amount to a lot more than just that one time, small lack of payment. And the Rhode Island Public Expenditure Council, in fact, did a study that they say proves that very point. So I think that this subject is not done yet. I think there are a lot of people who are angry about the 38 Studios deal. But, there aren't a lot of good options in terms of where the state can go with this.
I'm Dave Fallon, along with co-host and Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy on The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. There's still some work to do on the proposal to restructure the State Economic Development Corporation.
You know, there were a lot of proposals. There were studies. There were two plans put forward, one again by RIPEC, another by Gary Sass and Marcel Valois, interestingly, on how to restructure the EDC. Now, Valois has since been named the executive director of the EDC, and the governor's official position is no changes are needed. I mean, they put in a chief of staff, which was a new position. Essentially, what they were saying was they had bad people in charge, that the structure is okay as it is. The reality is that the governor is clearly not a big fan. He said it, and his actions prove it, of being involved that much in the marketplace through government intervention. He wants to make the playing field a little bit more level, the cost structure be lower, which went to his proposal, for instance, to lower the corporate income tax from 9% to 7%, which went nowhere because it was going to be paid for by the elimination of a tax credit that the state's largest company, CVS, takes advantage of on a yearly basis. You know, there was sort of a trial balloon that didn't go very far. But I think that the governor really doesn't want a lot of action. And in fact, the General Assembly followed that lead. The jobs guarantee program that the $75 million guarantee that went to 38 studios came out of had another 40 some odd million dollars left that it could have issued in guarantees to smaller companies. The original program was $50 million. Then 75 was cobbled on for 125. But that $50 million was supposed to go to small businesses. And they had given guarantees to three companies that have been adding employees, growing themselves here in Rhode Island. That money is now all gone. It's off the table. And so the governor is content to say, let the market finance businesses, when in fact, in the past, a lot of businesses, their lender of last resort has been guaranteed by the government. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this approach works itself out, whether in fact the market will help a lot of these companies that maybe just a little need a little nudge, or whether a lot of them will, or many of them will go out of business.
Changing course a bit, the state Senate approved Dr. Kathleen Hittner to be the new state health insurance commissioner. Her past titles include president of Miriam Hospital, senior vice president of community health for the Lifespan System, and she's stepping in at a pretty critical time with Obamacare launching in October.
Well, the insurance commissioner has the power over the rates that insurance companies set. And Chris Kohler, the previous insurance commissioner, had come through on the payer side of this and has been for a number of years saying, look, the issue here, when people complain about the size of the rate increases for insurance companies, the problem isn't the insurance companies. The problem is on the provider side. The medical costs are very high. So now you have someone in that position who understands intimately what healthcare provider costs are about, what the cost structure is about, and what the various drivers of that are. So I think that actually she's a very good pick at this time because she's going to understand intimately exactly what does happen, what can happen to change it and improve it, and sort of what makes sense.
There had been some question about her objectivity as a former high-ranking hospital administrator.
Well, she's not, directly regulating hospitals. But that's a question you'd have to ask almost every day in Rhode Island. I mean, it's a small state. It's a small place. If you want people who are accomplished but also know about the state, you're going to find these kinds of things that are potential conflicts pretty easily.
Okay, Mark, we'll have to leave it there. This is The Bottom Line. And thanks to Providence Business News editor and co-host Mark Murphy.
Great as always, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.